Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome live worldwide to CUTV News Radio, a service of the award-winning CUTV News. Great to have you with us. It is 4 p.m. Eastern, special episode at a special time of our show today with our very special guest, Loretta Harrington. Loretta is the author of Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, which recounts the story of her remarkable experience meeting someone she knew in a previous lifetime, whose name is Zura, and that profound friendship that blossomed between them. Really, you know, there is a reason and a season, as we've said on previous episodes, for every relationship we have in our life. But sometimes a connection with another person is so profound it can transcend our understanding. According to Loretta, our soul path is the iterations of our soul through the centuries, where we've been, what we've learned, and what we've come back to. It's how we navigate our soul's physical journey. A soul connection is one, really, it's when one soul or one spirit recognizes another soul from the past. I know it sounds basic, but it's so deep. There's so many different aspects to it, so many different levels to it. Loretta says writing the book, which is, again, Peace of Soul Through the Heart, of Soul's Journey, helped give her a deeper understanding of soul connections. Soul connections are the highest potential of a loving relationship. God wants us to come together and learn from one another. He sends these souls to us so we can learn from one another. It really is an amazing story. And right now, this is part four of our series with Loretta Harrington. She'll be back with us as well next week. But it's one of those stories that, again, if you've read the book, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't yet, I sincerely recommend that you do, because it is one of those stories that just, you know, I'm sure you're going to find so many things to connect with and relate to, and you're going to go back in time and say, you know what, there were opportunities where somebody came into my life that were similar. And there was similar vibes, similar feelings, similar recognition. Couldn't put my finger on it, but you might have let that opportunity pass by. So in hearing Loretta's story, as she's been so eloquently sharing with us in detail her life, her story, her opening up to us, which we do appreciate and applaud her for, it may empower you to pay heed sometimes to some of those signals and signs that are before your eyes as well. Let's take a moment to welcome our very special guest, Loretta Harrington, live here on this episode of CUTV News Radio. Loretta, always wonderful to have you back here on the show, and thanks for joining us once again today.
Well, thank you, Jim, for the invitation. I always enjoy having our conversations and probing a little bit more into the story behind my book. You certainly have a knack of getting to the heart and soul of things.
I appreciate that. And I know you're very busy. You have some really exciting things that you're doing and projects you're working on, and your phone is always ringing, so you're in high demand, and there's a lot of people that are blessed by your presence and by, you know, the breadth of experience you've had and continue to add to. So always wonderful speaking with you as well, Loretta. And I'm very, really still taken back by the entire experience you've had, and I'm wondering if you can share. I know we've shared, you know, some specific things that have happened in your life, but were there any other life events that have had this impact on you that really caused you to write the book that we're talking about?
I would say I've had some awakenings in my life where I have felt that there's been a transformation, a profound transformation in my soul's growth. These were life events that that have occurred throughout my adult life and some of my childhood experiences as well kind of laid the foundation for my motivation to write the book and share my story. Some of these awakenings occurred outside of the United States, and one particular event stayed with me through the years. That's an event that that if an American finds themselves living outside of the United States, such as I did in Japan in the early 90s, when it was a very stressful time for our country. We entered into a conflict. Desert Storm, Desert Shield was the name of the conflict, where the President of the United States made a decision that we would support Kuwait. I was living in Japan at the time. My husband's Marine Corps aviator and and the commanding officer of an air group. And as a result of that, the squadrons were deployed to Iraq and Kuwait. And these were men that had already were separated from their families in the United States because they were on a rotating basis for 6 or 7 months to come to Japan and train. So when the command made the decision that these squadrons would deploy, they didn't have families to see them off at the flight line. So early in the morning before daybreak, I went over to the squadrons in the flight line where the planes were lined up, stood there in the cold morning watching the men come out in their flight suits. They had briefed the mission. I did not go into the briefing room, but I was there when they came out. Dead silence, pre-dawn, cold, misty, and the somberness of watching those men get into the plane, into the cockpits, and the flight crews surrounding them, doing the last-minute checks, was an event that I will never forget. I may have been the last thing they would see, not knowing whether they were going to come back to their families or not. So I said to myself, okay, what do I say to these men who don't have the benefit of their families to see them off? So what I did was I was there. They came up to me. They knew who it was, of course. I wished them Godspeed and said that we would all keep them in our prayers. So we stood there for quite a while. The engines were being revved up. The flight crews were standing back, and one by one, I watched the jets depart. And the feeling that I had was, here I am in a foreign country. Our government, our country is at war, and I'm here? Why am I here? Well, there was a reason why I was there. There was a reason why I had to be there and see these men off and wish them well. So I left that flight line and came back to the house where we lived. And at this time, the Japanese government only allowed so many hours of broadcast from CNN into the system. So that meant that our information was not 24/7 by any means. But I was day after day wondering what was happening. The men that didn't go, including my husband, couldn't discuss what was going on over there. I never felt so alone in my life. I wanted to be back in my country. I wanted to be with my friends. But I realized that I had friends there and that I had to stay there to support the other families that happened to be in Japan on a permanent basis, and we all had to stick together. And I thought, wow, this is something. I wonder who else has this experience. Well, Jim, no one else did have that experience. It was meant for me and for me alone to have that and to realize the seriousness of the work that we do in our lives. So that was that was very transformative for me. And the second event was the opportunity to work for a president, President Bush 43. Realizing the level of responsibility with that, and again I'm asking myself, why is this happening? Where is this leading? And the nagging thought, the haunting thought about, why am I here? What is it I'm supposed to do? Turned my thinking around. I let go some of the mental blocks and stopped questioning things and just said, you're here, you've got to do it, and do your best. So those are two life-changing events that made a world of difference in my outlook on life. I stepped out of who I was in my narrow world as a result of that and realized that there's so much more going on in the universe, and I wanted to be a part of it. And in a small way, I believe I was a part of it, and I'm still a part of it. And so how do you make a difference in someone's life? And I believe that I answered that question when I welcomed Zora, the main character in my book, to enter my life, to take the risk, to leave the fear behind, and to listen to my inner voice saying, this is another life event. This is something that you have to pay serious attention to. Open up. Think this through. Let it go. See where it takes you. And what is it that you can do to help someone else in a small way, in a big way? And it's normally in a small way. So that's what led me to write the book. These stories are not in the book. They may be in my second book. But those were the two events that caused me to rethink why I'm here and what is it I'm supposed to do. Where's my journey taking me? And I wanted that journey to be just as profound and just as meaningful as those two events I just described, and it has been.
That is beautifully, eloquently detailed for us in a vivid way, too. These images for you are still very fresh and still very vivid, aren't they, for you, Loretta, these experiences?
Oh yes, they don't leave my psyche for very long. I hearken back every once in a while. A thought will come into my mind, and I'll say, "I remember that day." And I want to tell somebody about it and share as much as I can. And on occasion, I do. I do it because I sense that the other person would benefit from it. And working for a president. You have to understand one thing, Jim, when you work for the president, that your goals or your ambitions are secondary. It's the president of the United States. It's his agenda. They are his goals. They are his decisions. And that every day you wake up and you say, today I have another day to fulfill the president's goals and directions, and if someone can't accept that, then they cannot work for the highest executive in the government, the commander-in-chief. Can't work for that individual unless you become unless your goals and your opinions are second to the White House's. And sometimes we know that many executives can't do that. They simply cannot serve unconditionally the president of the United States, and that's okay. But for me, it was an honor and a privilege to work with the team that the president put in place. I didn't have to agree with it. My role, and I had high-level positions, Jim, so I worked very long hours. and I didn't have a traditional work week. But you always have to think, when you speak on behalf of the president or the principal that you're working for, your words can never be taken back. And that's why I subscribe to this thought, be impeccable with your word. Be careful with what you say, how you say it, and who you say it to, because it just may end up in the Washington Post. And now it may end up in social media. It takes a tremendous amount of discipline to, the word subservient comes to mind, but that's too strong of a word, but to put your own personal views and beliefs aside and serve unconditionally someone else. So that's been a lifelong lesson that I took away from 8 years of working in the administration. So I do admire anyone, no matter who's in the White House, who chooses to work for the president. It's an honor, and it's a life event that marks you as a person. You're serving your country, and you're serving your government in that way. You may not be putting on the uniform every day, but you sure are sacrificing for your fellow man. So that's how I see it.
That's it. An awakening event that I'm sure triggered a transformation, like a discovery, right?
Yes, and the discovery was part of answering the question, can I really do this? Do I have it in me to do this every day and to put my views and thoughts aside? It takes a tremendous amount of discipline and energy. It's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. And I say in my book, when I left the administration, I truly was exhausted. I can remember standing on the metro platform saying, just another couple of months, and a new president will be sworn in, and the peaceful transition of government will take place. And yet when the time came, I literally turned out the lights in my office. My boxes were packed. I was saying farewell to the men and women that I worked with for 8 years. And I thought there would be a sense of jubilance because finally I'm going to have a chance to kick back a little bit. But I realized that I had a bond with them and they had a bond with me, and that there will never be another opportunity to have these experiences. So with sadness, I turned off the lights, and I mean I turned off the lights, and said my farewells and went on the metro, came home, and said, did I really do this? Has it been 8 years? And you say, yep, you did it, and it was 8 years. And keeping in mind, Jim, I came into the government as a result of 9/11, the tragic day in our nation's history. And I said, I've got to do something for my country. I've got to do something. What is it I want to do? What can I do? And I received a phone call from a friend of mine that I worked with, and she said, I'd like you to consider to come into the administration. I said, you've got to be kidding. She said, I'm not kidding. She said, I want you to seriously consider it. I turned her down. 9/11 occurred. The next day I called her. I said, is the offer still open? She said, it is still open. Please come talk to us. And on October 30th, I was working for the administration. Wow.
Yeah, I tell you, it's when you hear it back, when you hear yourself describing it back, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm getting hyperactive again, thinking about it, and getting excited all over again.
Yeah. Now, timing, of course, we know luck is very big, but timing is also a huge component when it comes to so many aspects of life. timing things perfectly, or when you know when the timing is right for something. And as we've been talking about in the previous episodes, this process has been very cathartic for you. This process has been very therapeutic for you of not only writing the book, but also it has changed you as a person in terms of your fluidity of words to be able to express yourself, the range of emotion that you're sharing with us, the detailed background to it all, not just the story with Zura with the book, but the transformation of who Loretta Harrington is. Now, the timing of all of this, everything, like all of the dominoes lined up perfectly, would you say with that timing and taking a look at the aspect of timing, did the idea of writing the book sort of percolate in your inner self for some time, or was it triggered by some of these events that you're talking about? I mean, you're pretty much describing these events leading up to writing a book, but things within your own self that were sort of rising to the surface that tipped it over the edge to say, now is the time.
Mm-hmm. It's the latter. It's now is the time that I grappled with. When would I do this, if I should do it? I often thought about about doing some writing. Up to this point, Jim, I was doing a lot of report writing, technical writing, presentations, oral presentations, all of that that goes with working in the government and in business. But there was a personal side to things, and it was those personal growth moments that began to, like you said, the dominoes, they just one after another, and I reached a conclusion after I left government and found myself in the situation of taking care of my father and the events that took place as a result of that. I began to say to myself, something else needs to be said. Something else has to be put on paper. This isn't just a report. life is not a dress rehearsal. And I found myself thinking more and more about writing something. But what would I write about? What would be fascinating? What would be of interest to the reader? And I came up with the conclusion that it's a personal interest venue or tack that I would take, because we have little stories in our lives that kind of add up as I see it in those trigger points. So you draw on all of those emotions and the growth that you've experienced through these life events. And the trigger was, in fact, clear to me when I decided that I would write this book about an individual from a foreign country who came into my life and my family's life as a result of my father passing away. And I often thought that it was my father's gift in some way to me to say, there's more work to be done, Loretta. You've done a lot already. I mean, I put myself through college. I worked full-time and was a night student forever. So there was something else that had to be said. And up to this point, up to the time I wrote the book, Jim, I was exploring a lot about my own soul growth. And I realized that this had to be said. Timing is everything. And the haunting notion of writing just didn't leave me. It took over my entire psyche. And one day I woke up early in the morning and I said, this is it. I'm going to start commit to paper today, my thoughts, my emotions, and I'll sort it all out later, but I just have to get it moving in the right direction. I had great material because I had another life experience that I could draw from, and there's no fiction. I didn't have to make up dialogue. I didn't have to make up an historical event of any kind and draw a story around that or tell a story around that. This is my life. This is what I wanted to write about, and I did. And I found it to be, like you say, a catharsis. But it was more than that. It moved me down into another. It moved me up, not down. It moved me up to a higher level of consciousness and appreciation. And it's still evolving. And so I let myself go and paid attention to my inner voices and looked at this as another opportunity to have an impact on someone's life, and more importantly, my life. And that's the gift. That's the beauty. That's the unconditional love that you get when you allow yourself to open up to someone from your past. It's scary. As we say,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
rocks your world.
Sometimes that's the only expression that really works, right?
Yes. That's yes.
Why do you love telling this story? What for you personally, Loretta, is it doing for you? And what I mean by that is you're doing glorious things for people that are listening to us right now, people that are listening to the past episodes in our archives, people that are going to be listening to the upcoming episodes, people that are watching the TV video interview we did, people that are reading your book, all of these things that are happening all at the same time, going back to timing. Why for you is this so important? And what are some of the incredible range of emotions and things that you're feeling as you're sharing with others and empowering others? It's coming back to you tenfold. I can just hear it. I know it personally. You've expressed it many times on air and off air. In the couple minutes we have left, I think we've got about 3 minutes left. If you can touch on a little bit of that would be wonderful.
Emotions.
I love the way you take that deep breath, too, before you... that means you really, really care, and you think it out well.
I want to share the fear, the anxiety, the joy, the humor of all the emotional range of what I've experienced with others, and look at it as an opportunity to connect with others and continue sharing and loving and improving and advancing and learning. I thirst to learn from others, and having all of this, all of these emotions, brings about a higher level of excitement for me. It energizes me, and I want others to think about it in those terms. That there are people in our lives that can do this for us and with us, and if we don't take the chance to open up a little bit, remove those blocks, and give the other person an opportunity who may be from your past, in all likelihood who is, for the short period of time they're in your life, live it up, enjoy it, have fun.
Absolutely. Beautiful way to end. Thanks for joining us, Loretta. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. We'll talk some more.
That's right. Stay tuned, more to come. Loretta, you're a real blessing. Thanks for joining us on the show. Folks, you can get the book, Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, at Amazon. And to learn more about Loretta Harrington, our guest, go to lorettaharrington.me. What a great story. We appreciate her sharing that with us. She'll be back next week on CUTV News Radio. I'm Jim Masters. Thank you for joining us as well.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.